As my wife has said, I'm Jason Nelson, chaplain of SKIM Motorcycle Ministry. Thank you, Pastor David, for allowing us to share your pulpit for a moment. Before I start, I just want to let you know three things. In this sermon, there are three principles that I'm going to be pointing out for you. One, first principle is remember or know. Get to know who God is. Get to know who God is. Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, ruler of your heart. Get to know who he is. There's too many people in the world today, even Christians, who still just don't know who God is. Second, get busy doing for God. The message has never changed since Jesus gave it in Matthew 28. Get busy doing for God. And third, stay the course. Stay the course. Don't get distracted. TV, bills, relationship, health, fitness, or lack thereof. Don't get distracted. So as we begin, let us have a word of prayer to allow God into this moment. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your message that you have in store for us today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us thus far. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, we humbly ask it all. Amen. 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 All right, so SKIM. What is that? SKIM. On the screen, you may find a picture of our patch, our logo, the symbol of what we represent. Sabbath Keepers Motorcycle Ministry, as my uncle Russ, the president, good-looking guy, and or you know he comes from good stock. Sabbath Keeper Motorcycle Ministry, and we are just that. We are a ministry, not a club, not a group that just hangs out. We are a ministry. We are Seventh-day Adventists who love motorcycles and love to do for Jesus. Simply put. Whether it be feeding the homeless dinner or feeding our own church's breakfasts, giving out gas cards for hospital patients' families so that they can come and get treatment from long distances away, or giving Bible studies, visiting the sick or imprisoned, praying for those in need, or just gathering together for a nice Sunday ride. We do it all for the glory of Jesus. Now, about the patch, as you see here, We have many different colors, texts. What does it all mean? Well, Sabbath Keepers, at the very top there, that indicates our allegiance to the law of God. Seventh-day Adventist simply identifies our religious affiliation. Mark 2:28. That text identifies who we serve and whose Sabbath we keep. Or you'll find many times, oftentimes when you talk to other people who worship on other days, they say, oh, so you keep your Sabbath. That's great. Well, we have our Sabbath. So oftentimes they're unaware of just what Sabbath we're keeping. Mark 28 identifies that. The blue that you see in these in the color there signifies the perfect law of liberty, the law of God, the reflection of his character, as said in James chapter 1, verse 25. The gold signifies the trying process that all his followers go through. We shall be refined and tried like gold. And finally, at the very heart of this patch, you see here three angels blowing their horns. What is that? It is the three angels' message given to God's last day people, a final cry to the world. But what is this message truly? What is it about these three angels' message that God wants us to understand? Well, let's turn there to get, at the very least, a glimpse of what God may be trying to tell us. So turn with me right now to Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to be reading the particular verses of 6 through 12. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. I'm going to go through it, and then I'm going to and I'm going to go back and go through each one. Chapter verse 6. Okay. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that is a mouthful of a message for his people to carry out. But I'm not going to get too deep in theology and all these different things. But there are some very, very important points that God wants his people to understand within these messages. So let's go there. Verse 6, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Now that message is kind of reminiscent of a message that was given earlier in history by a man of Jesus Christ. Our friend here, Frederica, she read the text for us, Matthew 28. 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That message hasn't changed since the beginning. It has not changed. The last words in Christ's apostles, just it never changed. No matter who the president is, no matter who the president will be after the election, God's directive in your life remains the same. It is constant. His word is constant. If God says it'll happen, you can be sure it'll happen exactly the way he said it would happen, which is one of the main reasons why I believe in his word. Someone once said, the Bible is like CNN. The only difference is that I go to CNN or Fox to find out what happened. I go to the Bible to find out what's gonna happen. Amen? It's all there. If you want to know if you will be despised or rejected, it's all there. If you want to know if you're going to be content with the things that you have in this life, it's all there. If you want to know if you're on the right track as far as what you need to do in this life, if God is happy or sad with what you're doing in this life, it's all there. It's all there. Praise God. And if you look carefully at these messages, you'll discover it's not the angels who are called to be Christ's representatives. It is us. You see, God never intended his church to sit safely on our salvation. Matthew 28 tells us there is work to be done, and we have been given the honor and the duty to do it. You see, you can't go through Revelation 14 unless you've been through Matthew 28. All right, let's continue. Verse 7, let's read. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made the heaven, earth, and the sea, and the fountains of the waters. All right, now I want you to highlight some key words here. Fear God. Give glory. Hour of judgment. Worship him. Fear God, give glory, hour of judgment. Worship him. All right, let's break this down. So fear God. The word here translates in the Greek phobeo or phobe in the Greek and yira in the Hebrew. It is where we get the word phobia, to be afraid. Yes, we fear out of respect. Yes, we respect him because of his grace and mercy. However, we often, especially in this day and age, forget who God is. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Solomon here, the very first thing that Solomon wants his readers to understand, his readers to get through, the very first message that Solomon gives here is, fear God. This is the principal part of knowledge, to fear the Lord. It's the beginning. Because then it implies that you have at least some concept of who God is, which is someone to be approached with the utmost respect and reverence. See, when mom said, son, your room needs to be clean by the time I get back home, you better believe that if it wasn't, judgment was to be executed on my little behind the moment she walked through that door. Now, mom was still mom, gracious, kind, loving, and loving unconditionally. But that didn't mean I could talk to her or about her any way I wanted, which includes deciding whether or not I'm going to listen to her without there being any repercussions. Sometimes I love to race motorcycles. The other day, my last birthday, my wife was gracious enough to treat me to exotic racing. I don't know how many of you know what exotic racing is, but exotic racing allows you to race the most exotic, most expensive cars you'll never afford, probably. And the car that I got to race was a Lamborghini Gallardo. Oh, it was nice. I got up to about 100 miles an hour. It was a whole lot of fun. But guess what? I feared that car. I fear the motorcycles. Every one of these motorcycle riders up here fear their bikes. Why? Because they know what they can do. They know that the moment you disrespect that bike, it will kill you, or at least permanently maim you. Now, we don't necessarily need to love God because we fear him. We've loved him for all other kind of reasons. He's gracious. He's merciful, abundant in love, forgiving, master, redeemer, because we know at least who God is. But with that knowledge, knowing who God is, we tremble before him because he is God. He is powerful. When Moses met God in the bushes, God said, you need to take your sandals off because the place you are standing is holy ground. Angels cover their faces when they speak the name of Jesus. They understand who God is a lot better than we do. So knowing who God is implies that we fear God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Glory to him. Glory, glory, glory. Many of you know the story of footprints in the sand. I just want to read it to you because it's a beautiful, beautiful poem. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one belonged to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troubling times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you'd leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set, it was I who carried you. One of the most beautiful poems that I've read, it reminds us to glorify God Glory to Him for the smallest things in our life. We don't realize how many times God has saved our lives from either ourselves or other people. Just the fact that we can wake up in the morning and still be sane is a glory and testament to our lives. But glory to God for the simplest things. Lord, thank you for helping me pass my test. Lord, thank you for getting me to church on time. Lord, thank you for this meal that I didn't know how I was going to get. Or for some of the most hardest times. Lord, help my child who's in the hospital. Help my mother. Help my father. Help this person who doesn't have a home. Or thank you, Lord, for the precious life of our beloved Linda Watkins. We lost a member not too long ago, just suddenly. She was holding her grandson at her house, and she had a heart attack, and she died. We had big plans for Linda. I think the Lord had big plans for Linda. We were working with her on so many different things. She had overcome so many different things, and we are so happy for her. And then, lo and behold, she passes away. But praise God, I got to know Linda. I got to know a beautiful Christian. She was a wonderful person. Praise God for the small things. Glory to Him. Now, moving on, hour of His judgment. Now, simply put, without getting too philosophical or theological, it basically saying God is actively looking to see who has chosen to live these principles of the three angels' message in their life. We're not talking about works righteousness here. We're not asking you to live a perfect life. God isn't asking you to live a perfect life. Jesus came and did that for us already, that which we cannot do ourselves, and yet died for the death we all deserve, which is the sinner's death. It is not about never falling. It is about never giving up. Though a righteous man falls seven times, Bible says, he rises again. Proverbs 24:16. And how do we know we haven't given up? By doing that which He has called us to do, which is fear God. You can't fear or show love and respect sincerely to somebody you don't have a meaningful relationship with. Glorify Him, glory to Him. And lastly, worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him that made the heavens and the seas and the earth, the sea and the fountains of the waters. Now, that text, that phrase right there is very reminiscent of another text. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. You'll find it is at the heart of the Ten Commandments, at the heart of the fourth commandment. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Huh. How poetic. How poetic is it that within the three angels' message is an indicator showing exactly who this message is talking about. A people who recognize, meaning they fear, they glorify, they worship a God for who He is, Master, Savior, Redeemer, Creator, and Lord of the Sabbath. Now, it reminds me of a story that I heard T.D. Jakes once say. He overheard two people arguing about the Sabbath, about the day of worship. And one guy was a Sunday churchgoer. And the other guy was, believe it or not, a Seventh-day Adventist. And T.D. Jakes thought it eloquent to say, well, I worship God on Saturday. And shoot, I worship Him on Sunday. And Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Now, you see what he's doing. Sure, you can worship God every day of the week. Praise God. Worship God every day of the week. I don't mind. What he failed to mention was that the Sabbath is not holy because we keep it so. If we forget to keep it holy, it doesn't magically stop becoming holy. The Sabbath remains what God made it, regardless of what we do. God simply invites us to partake in the blessings associated with it by saying, remember it, to keep it holy. You may worship God every day of the week, but you can only keep one day, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, holy. So once again, we find the Sabbath truth reiterated here in the three angels' message. All right, let's read on. Verse 8 and 9. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now, I need to stop here and just kind of reflect on the image and the mark in Babylon. See, the story of Babylon, Babylon means the same as Babel. It means confusion. Confusion. The story of how God said he would do something, say, keep his promise, not destroy the earth, and a people deciding that they're going to do something else, opposite. For example, build a tower out of distrust of God's word is by biblical definition confusion. The people had God. They had God. God was with them. They knew his word. They knew what he said. But they didn't obey or trust it, in which they became Babylon, confused. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 21 and 23. I just want to read that real quick for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Because what? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, they thought themselves all that. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corrupt man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When you think image, in biblical terms, think worship. Think worship, okay? Image, worship, okay? They essentially worship themselves and their own wisdom. When you don't do what God says, you are in confusion and are not following Matthew 28, simply put. And if you're not following Matthew 28, once again, you cannot follow the first angel's message. The angel then summarizes what has been said in all these verses with verse 12. Those who keep his commandments, those who keep his commandments. Here are the patience of the saints, those who keep his commandments and have the faith of Jesus Christ. So those who keep his commandments have the faith of Jesus Christ, have the faith of Jesus, meaning trust in God. See, when Jesus came to the earth, he told us, he showed us what we ought to do. It wasn't so much the miracles. It wasn't the living the perfect life. Everything that Jesus did, he did trusting in his Father. That's what he wants us to replicate, the trust in his Father, in his word. You see, whatever the mark is in here, it is contrary to the commandments. The saints obey / or are in agreeance with the commandments, while others obey or are in agreeance with the mark. Now, to clarify, do I believe that there will be those in heaven that have not kept the Sabbath? Yes, yes. God is merciful. He is abundantly merciful. But that's another sermon. This is mainly for those who know God, have his word, but do not obey it. Do not obey it. One of the early leaders of our church once said, we have more to worry about with people in the church than out. So my friends, I leave you with those same three principles in which the skim ministry allows me to make a reality every day of my life. Get to know God, or remember who God is. Master, Savior, cast your cares upon Him. Redeemer and Creator, Lord of the Sabbath. Two, get busy doing for God. This message has never changed since given by Jesus in Matthew 28. And thirdly, lastly, stay the course. Don't get distracted. TV, bills, election, health, fitness, or lack thereof. Don't get distracted. No matter how bad things get, God is in control. Revelation tells us that. Glorify God. Give praises to Him. Throughout even Revelation, it just randomly gives acts of praises. Just stops and just break out in praise. Stay on the course. Don't get distracted. Stay on the course. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for being merciful, being kind, being loving. Thank you for helping us know who you are. Help us, Father, to never disrespect you, to always fear you, Father. Thank you for giving us opportunity to do your word, to finish your work. Thank you for the honor, Lord. Help us in our weakness. Help us in our uprisings and our downfallings. Help us every step of the way. May we never forget you. May we never get distracted so much that we leave the pathway, Lord. Help us to stay on course. In Jesus' name, we humbly ask it all and claim it. Amen.